you for coming to order without even being asked. I appreciate it. And with that, I will call to order the regular meeting of the Winter Springs City Commission on this date of July 9th, 2018. Andre, would you call the roll? Here.
Here.
Here. Here.
Here. Please stand for a moment of silence, and we'll follow that immediately with the Pledge of Allegiance.
An additional citation to the minutes under item 304. Okay. All right.
By the commission that you'll see tonight is when we get to that item 400, that there'll be a motion to postpone. There won't be any public hearing or discussion by the commission related to it because it is a quasi-judicial matter for us to review. There are certain rules we have to follow in how it's considered. With that, let me move on to item 100, awards and presentations. Mr. Schneider. Since we're in somewhat strange facilities here, I'm going to ask you to come all the way around back here. Thank you. to the informational agenda. Only one item there, and that's available out on the website if anyone would like to look that up. It gives the status of current development projects. Public input. This is our chance to hear from you. So if anyone from the public wishes to address the commission, we ask you to come forward and at some point fill out one of these blue forms. We've already got three now, and I'll call up in order the ones that I've got. And the rules are simple. We're friendly. Welcome your comments. We just ask that you keep to within a three-minute time limit so we can hear everyone who wishes to speak. And there will be a counter up there that if you glance at that, you'll get an idea of where you stand versus that three-minute time limit. So let me start by calling up Rabbi Maurice Kapper.
This is P.O. Box 195233 in Winter Springs. I have two short things to say. First of all, I'd like to certainly commend Chris Caldwell and the Parks Department and Parks and Recreation for the absolutely outstanding event they had on July 4th. It was superb, and I give the highest accolades to them for all the work that they did to make that a reality. The other thing that I'd like to do is commend our city manager, Kevin Smith. I noticed there's an item on the agenda this evening setting the millage rate, and I know how hard it is to, in an era of fiscal responsibility, to try to maintain the millage the way it's been. Fortunately, we've been able to do that for a number of years. That's due to the credit of Mr. Smith and the entire city staff, the finance department, all the other departments. So I'd like to thank you very much for keeping the taxpayers' desires in mind and keeping us where we were. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Capra. Anthony, I've got your light on here. Is that by intent? I'm hitting the terminate button. Mr.
I didn't create it.
Hey, Sean for mayor.
Just be careful when you get your name in the queue. Mr. Rich Zarda.
St. John's Land, and I came here to talk about item 400, but it's not on there. So I want to make a general comment. I apologize that I'm not very active here at such meetings, but perhaps that could change. I'm very disappointed in our town center, and I think that perhaps falls on your shoulders. We moved here in 2004, and I love Winter Springs, but I just don't see much going on there. And, for example, I don't know what you can do, but things that occur to me that you could do to help our town center, and I know you're doing this multi-family stuff with all the buildings, but have you discussed a movie theater? I mean, that would bring a lot of people here. And I've heard for 10 years about an amphitheater, and nothing seems to happen. I like what they did in Oviedo. I'm sure you must hear that in your ears all the time. And we don't have the land to do anything like that, but some reasonable thing. For example, I don't know the area between McDonald's and where all the high-rise multifamily stuff is going. It's open there. Is that going to be a grass area? I have no idea. But I just hope that you can give us something for the children and families to come there. I know we've got the place down the road, but I mean here in the town center, like a kid's sprinkler stuff or stuff like that. Well, I wouldn't mind hearing your comments on this. I've taken on that.
Thank you, Mr. Zarda. And I've got a request from Gina Novella Schaefer. Let me just tell you, you can come forward. I just need to be the bad guy. I just need any comments you want to make that don't relate directly to an application that's before us, specifically the item 400 that you said you wanted to speak to.
Right.
We just can't hear that because it would prejudice the quasi-judicial nature of that app because they're not even here to defend
themselves. No, I don't know if it falls into the same category. So you can say stop, and I'll stop.
I would just suggest you keep your comments as generally.
Okay. All right. Okay. I want to say, Mayor, City Council, and fellow Winter Springs residents, I am a resident of the Winter Springs Village, which is by the town center, and I am asking that you take the time to evaluate what's going on over there, which I think is pretty general, whatever, okay? And I'm just asking about the traffic, okay? I live in the Winter Springs Village. We have Michael Blake, which has been closed for a long time, okay? I'm making that, which if we build in the town center, where is that traffic going to be diverted temporarily, because Michael Blake has been closed for a while, which it was supposed to be opened up. So I'm just asking that randomly. And also, I was under the assumption that there would be some kind of a road study to know what the traffic situation is going to be. And the reason I bring this up is the road that doesn't even have a name next to the high school is not a city road. That is owned by Winter Springs High School or Seminole County School Board. And I'm just making that so not just you all, but these people back here know that that's not just a regular road. We use it as a cut through when they close off the road for events, which is fine for the town center and whatever, but you're going to have a multitude of other traffic on that road. And is that okay with Seminole County schools, or is that not? That is one point that I because I think that the town center's vision back when I lived in Avery Park was the town center was going to be the essence of the city, okay? And some people last time I came to a meeting did not say, they said they didn't even live here during that time. Well, I did. So I'm just saying to you, please try to keep it what it was supposed to be. I'm asking, respect the people that were on this board before you, if that was their if that's what they wanted. Don't just go changing it in the middle of a football game. You don't change the rules and say, oh, the quarterback's not allowed to throw the ball anymore. I'm just saying, you can't do that to people when we expect it to be what it is, just like the man from St. John's Landing said. So I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for working with us. And I assure you, assuming this does come back next month, which I thoroughly expect it will, there will be a full public hearing where you'll get to address it as forthrightly as you wish. Does anyone else wish to address the commission? Seeing none, we'll close the public input portion of the meeting and move to the consent agenda. Now, Commissioner Cannon, I know you had an item that you wanted to discuss before we approve it. Let me also make mention that 301 has a slight change, Commissioners. The amount that's $1,569,491.67 should be amended to read $1,964,578.92, and the city's share of that would be $81,466.25. There's actually a greater amount of funds that are coming into the city from the state than we had before, so that's an improvement. So I'd ask that any motion to approve the consent agenda include that change, item 301. And Commissioner Cannon, your request was?
Yes, with regard to the minutes from last commission meeting, item 304, I would like the minutes to include that the basis for I pointed out that we were required to have a minimum of 7 days between the P&Z hearing and the commission meeting. And I would just ask that the clerk interlineate pursuant to section 20-321C2B of the Town Center Code. That's all.
Well, since we're talking about the minutes, as I recall when we had the discussion, I think you said that as part of your verbal comments at the time. So were they not included in the minutes?
They were not. They were not. And
I guess my point is, I think what you're saying is correct, but we don't want to inject things into the minutes that we're not actually.
No, I did very specifically read it right out of the rule book, and we had a dialogue with the city attorney. And I think for completeness that one little citation should be interlineated by the clerk into the minutes. And with that, if there's no objection to that, I'll make a motion to approve.
Yeah,
Okay.
But, you know, if as long as the person taking credit for the one in Hollow Park is the HOA president, James Rodick, then he's entitled to that.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure how that works. I mean, I know there's a pattern. I know we are all in social media and everything like that. But I just wanted to make sure that I was doing
that. So Commissioner Greenberg said that my assumption was false. That being the case, I'm very familiar with how that went down, and the entire credit goes to Chris Caldwell and James Rodick at the HOA for injecting the Winding Hollow into the master plan of the parks and putting it on the agenda for tonight. So that is not the anybody else who takes credit is lying. James Rodick is the sole individual who did that.
Mayor, respectfully, could I add Sean and his team to that credit list for their good fiscal management enabling us to have the funds to do one of our smaller parks this fiscal year?
Well, and while we're saying that, the entire parks plan that we're part of this consent agenda, I think, is a tribute to, we're going to talk about fiscal matters at the end of the meeting, but it's a tribute to the fiscal management of the city, Kevin Smith and Sean in particular, because 10 years ago, we didn't have money to do park systems, and now we do, and so I think all the parks are going to see some significant improvement over the coming months. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Kendrick and Commissioner Greenberg.
So I think Mayor, if I may just expand on what you led this discussion with, we'll get relative to item 301.
Yeah. And the flood.
I am speaking to 301.
He's elaborating on the dollar change.
The original discussion that the mayor led with relative to making the changes on the cost share from 1.5 to about 1.9 million total budget. I just wanted to make sure that that was not an oversight in the agenda item, but it was additional information that we received from the federal government, which enabled us to have more dollars to leverage them for the benefit of our taxpayers.
Mr. Cannon, we're finding our way back to you and your motion.
So I make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the revision to item 304 and also with the revision to item 301 for total amount for the Hurricane Irma National Resource Conservation project of $1,964,578.92 and the city's share of $81,466.25. With those revisions.
Thank you, Commissioner. So there's a motion from Commissioner Cano, seconded by Commissioner Greenberg. Is there further discussion? Andrea.
Aye.
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 Aye. Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Cano, for making that correction to the minutes. But while we're on that subject, I think the error that you corrected comes about because Andrea tries her best to take expansive dialogue we have here and put it down on paper. And I think that's something that deserves
a lot of credit
from us. Well, yeah, it's hard. It's really, there are resolutions passed by this commission and Robert's Rules of Order that suggest that the verbosity that we've had for all these years is probably not appropriate for minutes. At some point when we're looking at our rules and procedures again, we ought to look at that, because I think there's a burden that's put on the clerk staff that's inappropriate, and we can make that easier and have it more in accord with normal rules and procedure for meetings. So I'm not asking for anything now, but just throw that out there.
My understanding is that we went, as recommended by, like, the Florida League of Cities, to more action minutes. And unless, and I think that our clerk does a very, very good job because of, that was a long meeting, for example. That meeting last time was, what, 2 hours or more. And so, and I talked with Andrea, and it was, there's no, absolutely no ill, how should I say? Yeah, it was just, and she just said, but because the minutes had come out, that I would just have to bring it. And that's the first time I've had to do it, you know, since I've been up here. That's why I asked how to do it. So anyway.
Well, the guiding principle for minutes are to report things that are done.
Right.
Action items. And so I think we just need to look at that at another time. So, did we pass the consent agenda, Audrey? Thank you. Public hearing agenda, this is the one we've talked about before. The only thing that's on the public hearing agenda is item 400, and that will not be considered tonight, but what is appropriate from the commission is to postpone to a date certain of August 13. Is that our next meeting?
Correct, Mayor.
August 13. Okay. Motion from Commissioner Hovey, seconded from Commissioner Cannon. Discussion. Motion is to postpone this special exception request until August 13th.
Aye.
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 Postponement passes. Regular agenda item 500 is resolution 2018-11, which acknowledges and accepts the vacancy that came from the resignation of Commissioner Resnick. That's District Seat 4. And having done that, then decide what course of action we want to take to fill that seat, at least until the next election. So is there a motion to approve
to
resolution?
Motion to read by title only. It's a resolution. Doesn't he have to read it?
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
No?
Okay.
So I'm just looking for a motion to approve resolution.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Hovey, seconded by Commissioner Cannon, to approve resolution 2018-11. Discussion? Andrea?
Aye.
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 So we've been down this path recently. We have a vacancy. The charter requires us to fill it within two meetings of having declared it vacant. So that means that we can look at candidates and make a decision that we can make a decision tonight, but more likely at the August meeting or the September meeting. Given that we have 5 weeks between now and August, I think that gives us time. I'm open to whatever the will of the commission is, but I'd suggest that if we ask people to put in applications sometime in the next couple of weeks, that would give us time to review them and be ready to do it at the August meeting if we wanted to, or postpone to September if we wanted to. Commissioner Greenberg?
I would make a motion to...
But a motion's not quite in order yet.
Okay. No.
Commissioner? Any other discussion for...
Just on the setting of the dates...
And I know when you get the applications, you have to vet to verify, like, you know, voters and all that. So how much time do you need to do that before we have our next meeting?
So if, I'd say if there are any bumps in the road when we get to August and we're just not ready, then we don't do it. Wait for September.
I would consider that 2 weeks ago, and that means 3 weeks to vet everything.
So that's a motion.
Okay. I'll second that.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Greenberg, seconded by Commissioner Cannon, is to open it up for applications with a deadline of 2 weeks from tonight, and then put on the agenda a possibility for selection in at the August 13th meeting. Andrew, would you call the roll on that one? Yes, of course. You have to do it, so we want to make sure we're doing it right. Yes. Commissioner Greenberg, your motion
in June
on the 23rd.
On the
Consent by the commission to accept the modification of the motion? No objection? Okay. Anything else, Andrea, before we... Okay. How would you call the roll?
Aye.
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 So anyone who's interested in that job, I don't know why you would do it, but we would appreciate your interest. Please contact the clerk, probably give her 24, 48 hours to get the paperwork ready, and then she'll provide you with what you need to begin the process. Andre? I think the motion was to do it the same as we did. Yes. Yes. I think we'll put it on the agenda to say we're you have the opportunity to make the selection, so it's properly agendized and the public knows, but it won't be required. Okay. Set. Then on to item 501, which is a consequence of the last agenda item. We also have a vacancy for deputy mayor. Commissioner Greenberg.
I'll second that.
Are there any other nominations? Okay, so we've got a nomination from Commissioner Greenberg, was seconded by Commissioner Hovey. And since there was only one nomination put forward, I'm going to convert that into a motion to name Commissioner Kendrick as deputy mayor. And that is implicitly made by Commissioner Greenberg, seconded by Commissioner Hovey. And now it's an aye or nay vote on it. Unless, wait, excuse me, any discussion from the commission?
Aye.
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 Okay. Congratulations, Deputy Mayor Kendrick. Item 502. Board and committee appointments. As usual, there is a smorgasbord of vacancies available. First come, first served. Does any commissioner wish to make an appointment?
Second.
Okay, motion by Deputy Mayor Kendrick, seconded by Commissioner Hovey to nominate Jesse Phillips to DLBD. Andrea, can you affirm that we've got all the proper paperwork on Mr. Phillips? Discussion of Mr. Phillips. Would you call the roll, Andrea?
Aye.
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 Commissioner Greenberg.
No.
Oh, all right. I have to terminate. Any other appointments? No? Okay. On to 503. This is the big one. This is reviewing of fiscal year 2019 budget presentation. At the end of that, we'll actually adopt the resolution that places the millage cap on the for consideration by the property appraiser. So we have from left to right, Kelly, Pelagio, City Manager Smith, and Finance Director. Kevin, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners. Before we get into the FY 2019 budget, if you'll allow me, I wanted to share some thoughts that I had as the team and I were putting this budget together. It struck me as we looked at a 2019 fiscal year, which is approaching 2020. This is just funny when you're preparing budgets, you usually start around February. You know, for example, this year it just turned 2018. You're still thinking 2017. And then it's 2018, but you're doing a 2019 budget. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to slow my life down, not to speed it up. So as we reflected, it occurred that it's 10 years since I first had the privilege of preparing a budget for, at the time, Commissioner Hovey and you all. And it kind of caused a little, I guess, called self-reflection between Sean and Kelly and I about what happened back in 2010. Now, Sean wasn't quite here yet. Kelly, I'll remember, all too well as we sat down in front of a budget that was on top of the current housing bubble burst. And we saw something that I'd never seen in 25 some odd 30 years of preparing governmental budgets. And that was a decline in the largest revenue source in our general fund budget, which obviously had ramifications not beyond just that budget. And it created new terms that we all became familiar with the term rollback, but we found ourselves with a new term, I think it may have been made up, called roll forward, because that became the amount of millage rate you would have to levy to generate the similar taxes from the prior year. And I think that Commissioner Hovey, you'll probably remember attending Florida League City's meetings at the time that, in all humility, respectfully, many governments, if not most, were scrambling at that point in time. And what are we going to do? And a lot of them were considering this new roll forward term, basically increasing the millage rate in order to make up for the perceived shortfall from the loss of valuation. We chose not to do that. We chose to take a hard look at it, and through the vision of this commission and the efforts of people like Kelly and the entire department heads, he said, you know, we're gonna solve this problem, Kevin, and we did. And it kind of led into a further reflection on what we've done over those 10 years. So I say this not for any type of braggadocious purposes, although I will tell you I'm extremely proud of the team, of this commission, of the entire staff and what we were able to do, but also pay taxes in this town, and I'm actually thankful to this body and to the staff for the fact for what we were able to do. So if you'll allow me, I just want to reflect on a few things that we've done over that period and how we've addressed the challenges that were in front of us. We won't go into the things we did, such as, you know, personnel reorganization, zero-based budgeting, and whatnot, but look more on some outcomes. And in no particular order, they're as follows. Well, regarding the millage rate that I spoke of earlier, over this 10-year period, we did not roll forward. As a matter of fact, we did not increase the millage rate one time during that period. As a matter of fact, we decreased it five times, half of it. More specifically, as you look at the first 5 years where we were facing this downturn in valuation, we did increase taxes then, or the millage rate then. But in fact, we did lower it during that period twice. I was actually proud of the fact that we took a different approach to solving these crises. And I think it has served us well. Expanding on that a little bit, another thing that was a concern as I first looked at our budget was a pretty enormous, pretty large amount of outstanding debt in the city. We had over $50 million in outstanding debt. And my good friend at the city of Altamont, Frank Marks, likes to remind me that they have zero debt in Altamont. And I'm proud of him for that, but we did not have zero debt in Winter Springs. However, I can tell you 10 years later, had it not been for the fact that we were forced to incur some debt for our water quality improvements, you all remember what the feds placed on us, and we were unable to plan for that. That's the key. We had to incur the debt because we were unable to plan. If you take that out, we've actually cut the debt that we had when we started 10 years ago in half, which not only strengthens our balance sheet, but more importantly, it has a dramatic reduction in our carrying costs, the amount we have to budget for principal and interest payments every year. So rather than not to sound a little bit flippant, but rather than pay off our credit cards at our houses, we're able to take that disposable income and use it elsewhere. We're able to buy police cars, replace parks, as we talked about earlier. So I think that's a huge improvement, in my humble opinion, on our financial position. That resulted, those two items that I just talked about, resulted in another key occurrence, in my humble opinion. Both Standard & Poor's and Moody's credit rating agencies increased our credit rating for debt issuance from AA to AA+. Another not common, Sean will tell you, as he worked with these rating agencies, you didn't see a lot of that during this time period. Matter of fact, we have a letter from either Standard's or Moody's or both that specifically says that. Because of the things that we talked about earlier,
they were able to do something that wasn't the norm for that time period. And again, I think it's reflective on the mindset and the team approach that we took to solve these problems. Our pension fund, many governments have pension funds, defined benefit pension funds, and have had for years. There's been a lot of publicity and a lot of conversation about those pension funds and their sustainability or lack thereof. Our pension fund, respectfully to those that created it, and rightfully so, was had some issues. And without going into those details, I will say that the results were the pension fund that we inherited was graded by the state. You may all recall in the early 2000s that the legislature took it upon themselves to identify the funding ratios for pension funds for municipal governments throughout the state of Florida and assign school letter grades to those, A, B, C, D, E, F, A, B, C, D, F. Our letter grade, some of you may or may not know, at the time, 10 years ago, was an F. The funding ratio was in the below 60% area. As we sit here in front of you all today, that ratio has improved. It is a B+. So again, I think those are the kinds of things that we've taken more of a proactive effort in order to right that debt ship and to be able to take more of our tax dollars and rather than pay debt, to put them into programs, again, such as park replacements and other operational areas. Another area I talk a lot about personnel areas because they're the vast majority of our general fund costs. Another big one that I don't have to tell anybody here in the audience that's been challenging over the last 10 or more years is the cost of the funding of health insurance. I think that if I were to put a chart up on the board and I were to ask you all what the national average or the average increase across the nation in health insurance, I think we'd all agree it looks something like this. Matter of fact, I think I have that. If we could go to that slide, Ed, you can see here the national average is reflected by the blue line, and it has steadily increased beyond that of the CPI. The line below shows the winter spring health insurance cost. It's actually reduced over this 10-year time period by 29%. There's a lot of reasons for that are beyond the scope and the time period of this discussion, but I'm happy to sit down with anybody that would like to know, not just on this dais, but in the audience or anywhere, what we did there. And proud of that as well because we were able to sustain and, in a lot of ways, improve benefits for our employees. I could tell you about my personal situation. I won't do it on the dais because it involved a health issue that I had. But I can tell you how our insurance helped me dramatically from a financial standpoint, yet we still were able to reduce those costs by 29%. And again, keeping in mind that when these pension costs, these health insurance costs, combine for our overall pension, our personnel costs, which vary between 60 and 70% of our overall general fund budget, that's how you're able to balance budgets in difficult times. I think it's important to also take a minute and reflect on the following. Many times in business, not that we're a business, but in business, you can cut costs, but you do it at the expense of services. I think that we have data that would support that we haven't done yet. A couple of examples. We've spent tens of millions of dollars in infrastructure improvements throughout this city, to include doubling our road paving budget, to include water quality improvements, to include reclaimed water plants. We also have in this budget alone a multi-million dollar parks improvement program in the millions and millions of dollars. If you believe anything about awards, we consistently get emails and awards from various agencies that identify us as one of the top 20 safest cities in the entire state of Florida, reaching as high as number 2. I'll be honest, I get so many of those emails, I've started deleting them. And if you buy anything into awards further, you may recall that we received Money Magazine's award as one of the best top 100 most desirable cities in the entire United States in which to live. That happened during this 10-year time period. So I say all that again, not to pat ourselves on the back. I say it more because I think that what we've done has worked and addressed our fiscal concerns in the best way possible. And more importantly, it's the direction that I was given back when Commissioner Hubby was here and has been continued through my conversations with each and every one of you, because I know you're proud and important. It's important to to you all how many tax dollars, few tax dollars that you levy on our citizens, which all of us are. And I said that to say this, that it's my intention that the next 10 years will follow that same suit unless I'm told otherwise by this dais. So I hope that that was received in the intent which it was meant, which was to say, great job, team, great job, to the benefit, ultimately, of our taxpaying residents. I'm happy to move on now. Thank you for that. Moving into FY 2019, starting with the revenues, specifically our ad valorem. Our overall budget, let me just start with, our overall budget is up just under 4%, 3.9%, 4.1% in the general fund. That specifically is and solely in the general fund is due to capital and projects, most of them in the parks and recreation area, which we have, again, discussed to some extent already in this meeting. Our operating millage rate stands unchanged at 2.43 mil. Our voted debt millage rate, consistent with our amortization schedule and proactive strategies, is down 0.01 mil. So our overall total millage rate that we will be recommending to the Commission for levy this year is down again this year. Albeit a small amount, it is down nonetheless. I think it is probably important to point out at this point, Ed, can you throw up the millage chart for me, please? I love to point
we're
out.
We're double teaming Ed.
Oh.
We have an issue. Hold for a second. Go ahead.
I think the most important thing to point out, I'll talk about this chart just a little bit. This basically shows you from smallest to largest tax rate in Seminole County. On your left, you find Lake Mary. Next to that, you find the city of Winter Springs at the second lowest. Then you find Oviedo, Longwood, Altamont Springs, Castleberry, and Sanford. I think it's also important to note that the red lines in Winter Springs, Altamont, and Castleberry reflect the fire MSTU. So if you were to take out, and this would be artificial if we did so, but if you were to take out fire MSTU from the city of Winter Springs millage rate, which is the rate that you all can control, and only the rate you all can control, we would be the lowest. Now, not that that's a competition, but I think it's reflective of the things that we just spoke about for the past 5 minutes. But again, it would be appropriate to add in fire for purposes of an apples-to-apples comparison. But I feel the need to point out that, again, you all cannot control at all, other than one vote in the voting booth, what happens with that MSTU rate. I think that even more important in this chart is what I like to point out, which is of the entire tax bill that we all in the city of Winter Springs pay, only 14 cents out of every dollar is attributable to the city of Winter Springs. Only 14 cents is what you all can control, and only 14 cents out of every dollar is what goes into the city of Winter Springs proper to pay police, fire, recreation, park, et cetera, et cetera. That millage rate again, thank you, Ed, that millage rate again is down from the prior year, which puts us in 5 years of decrease over the last 10 years, again, without sacrificing services, consistent with our amortization charge. Our overall taxable values from the Seminole County property appraiser are showing improvement yet again. This year, we find us finally at the same level of taxable values that we were at in fiscal year 2008, some 11 years ago. Increases in taxable values generate about $350,000 in new revenue. Much of that contributable to new construction, and the rest contributable to the rebounding of our existing property values, which are, according to the property appraiser, strong. We do need to keep in mind that we have the looming vote in front of the state of Florida voters to increase further the homestead exemption. That will have somewhere in the neighborhood of a $400,000 to $500,000 effect downward on the City of Winter Springs General Fund budget, and we have to be cognizant of that challenge as it comes forward. We are doing our best to address it, but $500,000 on a $15 million budget is not insignificant. We spoke about that before, but just a reminder. Relative to other general fund revenues, a nominal 2% increase there in order to fund the overall general fund budget, not much of a different story than what we've seen issue. I'll stop, Mayor, and ask for any questions there, because I will ultimately be asking at this point for a motion from this dais to set the tentative millage rate consistent with the the language that's required that I believe Kelly is in front of everyone to do so. So questions, Mayor, and if not, a request for a motion.
The only one I see is me. So question, if the $25,000 homestead exemption passes about this November, what fiscal year does that impact on the city?
2020. So next budget year. So this time when we sit in front of you all this time next year, we will have that discussion looming in front of it. And we will have prepared a budget that would reflect that.
Commissioner Abbott?
And Kevin, this is sort of budget related. The gentleman earlier asked about the amphitheater. And I know that's a big long story that he may not be aware of, that we were trading land here, there, and everywhere. What are the plans for developing the amphitheater?
As succinctly as I can say this, and I'd be happy to talk to anyone in much more excruciating detail, but just be prepared. It's about a three-day conversation. And I don't say that kiddingly, because it's really 5 days. Two main points. There are funds budgeted and appropriated in this budget for the amphitheater. They have been for years. The holdup has not been the city of Winter Springs. It's been the state of Florida, because there's essentially a land swap required for us to receive the land we need to complete the amphitheater with the land over on 419 that the state needs to complete the missing link of the Cross Seminole County Trail. That is still not complete, but it is at the finish line. Once that occurs completely, and all T's and crosses and I's are dotted, then we can look forward to moving forward with the amphitheater. However, we need to understand that the money that we allocated before any of us years ago, we need to ascertain whether or not it's still significant in order to build an amphitheater for today's construction prices. And we've been going through that exercise for a while.
And that swap was started before I came on the dais in 2008. So here we are 10 years later, and we're still waiting.
The commission, prior to anybody in this dais and possibly anyone in this room, the majority of the money to build the amphitheater was borrowed. I want to say in the neighborhood of 80 to 90%. It was borrowed in 1999.
Okay. Thank you.
You said you're anticipating that if the voters approve the second $25,000 homestead in the election coming up in November, that it would reduce our general revenue by $400,000 to $500,000.
Yes.
What percentage of that do you anticipate in 2020 that will be of our overall budget? How much of a decrease approximately in the budget?
I am embarrassed to say that I can't do math in my head anymore, but whatever, 500,000 divided by 15 million. Another one. 3%.
About 3%. Okay.
That was general fund, not the overall.
Yeah. Right, on the general fund.
But the percentage aside, Commissioner, right. $500,000 buys a lot of police cars.
No, I understand. That's why I'm asking this question. That's why I'm asking the question.
A lot of personnel. It is a significant number.
Yeah.
It is a significant number. However, at the risk of speaking too soon, it will be my desire and our staff's desire to overcome that as we have 10 years ago when we faced $1.5 million shortfall. Significant, yes, sir.
No other comments? So,
motion, Mayor, I would respectfully ask.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Commissioner Hogan.
And the motion is to adopt Resolution 2018-12, setting the proposed operating millage rate at 2.4300 mils, establishing the rollback rate at 2.2120 mils, and setting the proposed voted debt service millage rate at 0.0500 mils, for a total proposed millage rate of 2.4800 mils, and establishing the date, time, and place for a public hearing regarding the proposed millage rate and the tentative budget as September 10th, 2018 at 5:15 p.m. at 1126 East State Road 434, Winter Springs, Florida, in our new commission chambers.
So the motion was made by Commissioner Hovey and seconded by Commissioner Cannon to adopt Resolution 2018-12, et cetera. For the discussion, Andre?
Aye.
Aye.
So the resolution passes. And for the benefit of the public, what that did was set a cap. It's possible that the commission could change that rate, but then it would be published that way, and it would be illegal for it to ever go over that rate when it's finally adopted.
Correct, Mayor, and as a reminder, that would be the rate that would be included in the trim notice that goes out in mid-August, forthcoming.
But we do expect that will be the final rate.
Before I move on, Mayor, and please give me the hook if you feel it deemed necessary, but I hesitated to address one issue because we've talked about it often in the past, and that's community events. But I want to just do it briefly because Rabbi Capra was kind enough to recognize and compliment the 4th of July. I think it's important to speak about community events just one more time because I really think it encapsulates what we've done fiscally. Not to judge or to do anything other than state the fact, but 11 years ago, we budgeted out of tax revenue $222,000 for the 4th of July event. Well, Chris and Melissa Cilio and the entire team put what we all were lucky enough to enjoy just a few nights ago was $0. Because of the generosity of our donors and sponsors through the efforts of Melissa, that's Melissa Cilio and combined. The hook now would be nice. I say that because Melissa's on my mind because she is, no disrespect to the outstanding job that many others have done, but she's really knocked it out of the park. And we all owe her a debt of gratitude because rather than $222,000, now granted the entertainment was maybe a little better back then. In my opinion, it was not because I think Guinness and the Breakers do a great job. That's why we're able to do that. So I think it does warrant beating that whistle. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Melissa, and the entire team. Moving on to other revenues and rates, consistent with what we've done the past several years, our water and sewer rates are indexed to increase every year with CPI. So we are able to accommodate increases in cost, chlorine cost, and we're also able to address some capital needs without incurring debt. We do a heavy pay-as-you-go schedule. We did our reclaimed water augmentation plant with roughly a third pay-as-you-go, which dramatically reduced our debt hold on us. So that is scheduled to index again this year. But depending on which economist you use, I'm using economist Boyle. Depending on which economist you use, the CPI rate is upwards of 2.75% this year. So that's great news for our economy, but that will reflect a little higher index than we've had in the past. Roughly about $1 on everyone's water bill. Still a small amount, but it does help ensure that we don't have to incur debt and increase that even more. Our solid waste fund, we have that, as you know, it's up this March. We're looking at that as we speak. We've been able to maintain that rate to our taxpayers or ratepayers at $18.10 since 2006. We will do our best to try to continue that rate. But like we spoke about in the past, there's a possibility, maybe even a likelihood, that we'll need to put an indexing onto that as well in order to keep up with cost and slowly and steady address it rather than have us dramatic increases. I will know more once we get the renewals in at that time, and we'll bring that back to the commission in a public hearing for everyone to be involved with at that time. Finishing up on rates, the following you all know, but I just want to again, use the word reiterate one more time. Impact fees, we made some significant changes. This body did for the last few years on impact fees. There's a very complex schedule of impact fees, but just to break it down to one thing that we see a lot, which is single family homes. We've reduced the impact fee for a single family home buyer by 36%. Pretty significant. And lastly, to also reiterate something that we've talked about before, but I think warrants bears more bears repeating, our Oak Forest and our TLBD special assessment. We have, over the last five-year period, without affecting operations, the maintenance costs, those have remained the same. They've actually gone up slightly in the report. But overall, through the reduction in refinancing and paying off the debt, We have reduced the TLBD assessment by 13%, again, without sacrificing the maintenance side, the operation side. And we've reduced the oak forest overall rate by 54%, the overall assessment, without affecting the operation side, and in fact, increasing the operation side. So I think that, again, goes to the vision and the good fiscal management of this body, and humbly, as a taxpayer, I'm offering you my thanks. Moving on to expenditures, Mayor, unless there are any questions. I'm happy to, but it's positive news, so I'll touch on it just briefly.
Please do.
As I mentioned before, personnel costs are a huge majority of our overall general fund expenditure. They essentially have been static due to good fiscal management, outsourcing opportunities, attrition, reorganization efficiencies. What your department has been doing for you, it's the ubiquitous less with more. And again, when you look at the service levels, the lowest crime rate in Seminole County, I don't know how many years running through, but through the chief's leadership, and it's not just reflected in, these are not subjective things, these are objective things that are measured by outside agencies. The chief is required to respond to FDLE numbers every year and say what our part one crime offenses are. Those remain the lowest in the county, and they remain reflected in what we see when we're told that we're one of the top 20, as high as number 2 safest cities in the entire state of Florida. Other costs of personnel are our pension. We've talked about increasing that letter grade from an F to a B, B plus actually. One point shy of an A, we're getting technical. Health insurance, we also talked about what has happened there. We still find ourselves this year, as we do every year, waiting on our carriers to get those final health insurance numbers in. Until that, we can't finalize those numbers, so we have contingencies in place in this budget that will hedge our bets on what self-insurance does end up being. I remain confident that we'll have good results, and we'll be able to adjust our budget accordingly for you all in September when we hit that final budget. And that will affect what we're able to do for our outstanding best staff in the business as far as raises. Right now, there's a 2.75 CPI adjustment programmed into the budget. That's actually not as much as we did last year, but more than what we've done in recent years. However, this is still contingent on some other factors, and we'll be finalizing that in the coming weeks as we present the final budget to you all in September. From an operating standpoint, again, basically unchanged. I point out that our CRA budget, our CRA contribution to the 1792 CRA, sunsetted. So that, as recently as last year, fell was up in the neighborhood of $150,000, $160,000. So that money is no longer being contributed to the TIF, but going back into our own general fund for distribution to police, fire, parks and recreation, and other areas. Also, just want to point out that when you look at the changes in the budget and the operating side from last year to this year, one that jumps out is that CRA for that reason. Another that jumps out is our IT budget. Not to go into too much of a time waste for you all, but we all know that modern personal computing was birthed in our lifetime. There was times when Kelly and I can remember doing accounting on green spreadsheet. But it's of such an evolving industry. There's a huge demand for talent out there. And it is difficult for us as a government with the monies that we have to compete with the EA Sports, with the Apple Computing, with the Google. There's a high demand for talent out there. Now, we're fortunate to have people like Ed DeJesus on our team, but we find ourselves, fortunately or unfortunately, however you look at it, in standpoint of outsourcing more of our IT functions. We are able to leverage, somewhat like we do with Anthony. Anthony brings not just himself and his talents to our legal advice, but he brings a multitude of qualified board-certified lawyers to help give us a smorgasbord, if you will, of legal advice. Same thing with the IT. Ed finds himself, and Sean finds himself, with the ability to tap into a large pool of talent. I think we've seen that, in a lot of the things that we're doing. I have a meeting to look at the new website that Ed and his team have rolled out just this Thursday that we'd like to have. Let me put Ed on the spot. The next 30 days, Ed? Yeah, good answer, Ed. In all seriousness, that they've been working hot and heavy on that, and I think you'll see a significant refresh in just the coming days, which is something that Sean knows, unfortunately, all too well, that I've been speaking to him politely about for the last five or six, 10 years. So again, I point that out to say, when you look at the discrepancy here in the finance and admin services budget, the decrease in personnel versus the increase in operating people to the outsourcing center. And finally, you all recall that a few months ago we had a conversation on this on a different dais, but this quote dais, about commission travel. And we determined at that time that the best time to have that discussion was at budget time. So if we could just take a few minutes, I want to just ask Sean to pass out what your commission travel budget and your dues and membership budget look like. Basically, these are the budgets where you all would sign up to go to lobby or advocate for things that are affecting our city. For example, the state deciding that they want to add an additional homestead exemption without maybe necessarily looking at the effects on the city. Now, certainly as a taxpayer, I'm all for that additional homestead exemption. But as a city manager, I want to make sure that we can balance that. So there's two main line items. One that talks about basically travel, which would be hotel lodging, per diem and whatnot, and the other is the actual registration. Those are very similar to what you've had in the past. Kelly shows me data here that says it has been sufficient to accommodate what you all have wanted to do in the past, but a lot of things are changing. You know, the legislature is becoming more involved than ever, and I think arguably it's your charge to represent our citizens to be able to make sure that you're there making your voice heard. Certainly representation from Commissioner Kendrick and Mayor Lacey on the Florida League of Cities, and each of you on Florida League of Cities Advocacy Group has a loud voice. But again, you all have expressed a desire to address this, and I want to put it in front of you tonight for either direction or consideration as we move forward finalization in September. I hope I articulated that well, Mayor, Commissioner. With that, I throw it to you, Mayor.
To make is that you left one thing out, Kevin, and that is your team has done an incredible job of refinancing all the debt of this city the last few years that could be refinanced while interest rates have been low. And I know that has saved the city significant amounts of interest and the interest carrying costs. And I just think that should be recognized, because that is a huge savings for us.
And Commissioner, if I can just interject and say thank you, number one. Yeah. And there's, in all humility, there's a ton of things that I could talk about. I'm trying to be respectful of everyone's time, but I do appreciate that. I agree. And I have to even take it a step further and say, at the risk of making some of the financial advisors in the world that make their living doing that upset, we've done it through Anthony's generosity, through Sean's astuteness, through Kelly's actions, and through our consulting group, PFM. We've issued these refinancing debts at much lower carrying costs than you normally would. Embarrassingly lower carrying costs to the benefit of our taxpayers.
And pretty much what I understood you to tell me is that every debt that we could renegotiate, not everyone can be, but everyone that could be, has been renegotiated, you know, reissued.
In my humble opinion, and this is my opinion only, because others would disagree with me, there are some debts that were issued not by anybody on this dais or in this administration that had some restrictions on it. For example, they're not callable. So when you issue something at a non-callable interest rate, you're able to levy higher interest rates for the benefit of the bondholder. But to the detriment of the city of Winter Springs and other cities, when the interest rate, say, on the face value is 6%, and now we can get 1.5%, that's unfortunate. We find ourselves with one of those examples, Mr. Boyle. One of those examples. The nicest thing I can say is it pains me enormous, and very much. But yes to your answer, Commissioner, we have refinanced everything that we can for significant savings to this budget.
And I'm sure it's millions of dollars of savings when you multiply the years of interest payments. And I just think that, because you and I have talked about
yes,
that, and Sean and I have talked about that, and Kelly, I just think that was really important to note and to commend you and
your
staff.
And if I could send it back to you, I appreciate your support.
Yeah. The other, that was the main point. The other, I had a small question. I know that the trend right now seems to be in law enforcement for officers to move around more maybe than years past. You're satisfied that we're paying a good wage for and to be able to attract good quality officers to the city? Is there anything we need to know about that?
I am, Commissioner. I, without getting into a long discussion about the career of law enforcement these days, which the chief will tell you has dramatically changed for a variety of reasons, we find ourselves with less applicants than we've had in the past. But I can tell you that as recent as today, we're in the top group of salaries in all of Seminole County. Okay. And, you know, it's an evolving challenge because, you know, we may be number two today, but we may be find ourselves number four tomorrow. But it is something that we consistently are looking at, and we'll continue to do so. So I am. Good. I would let the chief speak to that if he feels I had said anything inappropriate or incorrect. Okay. But that is my opinion. And I would also let Sean, as our HR, over the HR department, also speak to that if he feels anything.
No. It's a big focus for us to make sure that the chief has the appropriate number of dollars.
It's a dynamic, that whole field
but it's
of law
dynamic.
Enforcement, very dynamic. And
exactly. It's the number of officers we need today may be different than the number we need tomorrow. But I go back, if I may, Commissioner, to output. Not right. Input, but output. Output is the lowest crime rate in Seminole County. Top 20 throughout the state. So many, again, I kid you not. I delete those emails. I'm embarrassed to tell you we get so many of them. The feedback that we get from our citizens through not just social media, but through direct contact to the chief. I'm proud of what we've been able to do, and I think I know the chief shares that, as well as all the captains in here. I see Lieutenant Romano back there. If I miss anybody, it's just because I don't see them. And I'm proud of what we've done through our police informant, because there's an argument it's the most important thing that we do.
Well,
or one of them.
It is. That's why I asked, and I'm happy to report that I never get complaints. All I get is very favorable, and I think the statistics bear that out.
I have to share this with you, Commissioner. One of the first things, the chief was kind enough when I first started to invite me down to the police department to kind of be involved in some of the things they did. And one day they were doing a ceremony, chief, and we were giving out awards. And the chief started to read, and I kid you not, he started to read, not just one, not just two, but multiple letters from citizens thanking the police officer for giving them a traffic ticket. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't you, Christian.
And I know you've got your department heads here, and the credit goes to each and every one of them. I see them all sitting out here. I know how hard they've all worked. That's all I wanted. I had that one comment and that one question for you, and then thank you, Mayor.
Commissioner Hubby.
And I just wanted to mention about the police department. It's going to get even harder now because I just heard on the news tonight that Volusia County has added the Guardian program to all of their schools, and they have 30 people that are in the Guardian program to protect the elementary schools. And one of the gentlemen they talked to was a Volusia County jail officer, and he resigned that position to be a guardian at the schools. So that they've hired retired and former law enforcement and military. So as someone who has law enforcement people in her family, I know it's not just us. I mean, I know that other cities are having the issue also. So it's good that we are able to offer, and salary isn't everything. Working conditions is part of it, so.
Commissioner, you're absolutely right. It is not just us.
Right.
Statistics and facts bear that out. There is a supply and demand problem. Supply is lower than the demand. There's an increase in desire, and rightfully so, to place officers in school, the programs that you just talked about. But I think that through the leadership of the chief and the police department, we have an outstanding place to work. I'll tell you, quite frankly, there's people that probably won't agree with that. But there's people, and one of them is speaking to you right now, that strongly agrees with that. And I think there's others in the audience that do, that are very proud of what they've done. I think there's many citizens that are very proud of what they've done. And I think the approach that they take, which is reflective in my comment about thank you for giving me a ticket, is because of the approach that they take in providing police services to the residents that pay our salary.
Right, and we always see on Facebook them thanking the officers, and when are you going to do lip sync or karaoke? Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kendrick.
Jungle gyms and things, and then I saw our budget. I saw our the pension, and we were in the mid 70s at that time, and that was mid plus compared to the rest of the country. This is back in 2014. Now to see us getting basically to the 88, 89 threshold is again a testament of our hard work, your hard work of the city. Again, I'm going to say it's going to take thinking outside the box, and to work residents, we just paid off. The wall has been paid off. Everyone in Wellsport can see that $60, except for section 8, that $60 come off of their bill annually. And now we just have the maintenance. Is that my hook? No, and I just want to finish it off by saying, I mean, it's obvious that I'm very grateful for all of your hard work. And these are just some of the examples. You will find about many of them, and there's so many more, but
thank you, Deputy Mayor. And just 10 seconds to say something that I'd be remiss if I didn't do when you spoke about events, and specifically the 4th of July. When we talk about doing more with less, I hope this doesn't come across. Now, part of me wants it to come across braggadocious because I am bragging. But have any of y'all ever gotten out of the 4th of July traffic quicker than we did last Wednesday night? What a testament to folks stepping up and saying, you know what, we're not going to do it the way everyone else does. We're going to do it differently, focusing on the output. So kudos to the chief and his staff for that. Moving on?
Nothing, yes, nothing else.
I wanted to briefly touch on capital. As I mentioned before, the 99.99% of the increase in the general fund is solely for capital improvements, and the vast majority of that is in parks and recreation. With that, I believe I am completed my presentation, Mayor, and I would stand ready for any questions that you have.
I think we've covered all the questions. We've done our business in setting the trim rate. So, return to your seats.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reports. Mr. Garganese. Kill some time for Mr. Smith to get there.
A lot of time.
Any report, Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mayor.
Madam Clerk?
But I think that's a case-by-case basis. I think we know when there are a multitude of vacancies or pressing vacancies. I think it becomes a little stale if you see it every time. And certainly, you all retain the right at any time to make an appointment under your seat. So, I would offer that recommendation.
Consensus from the commission?
Yeah.
So, definitely next meeting, but then as the city manager suggests, case by case. That was all for your report on it. Deputy Mayor.
To that point, we're appreciating dinner this Saturday coming up on the 21st of this is not next Saturday? Yeah. 21st, right. To celebrate all the wonderful board members who sacrificed their time and serve the city as well as like thank them annually. Just a little bit, thank you, Kevin, Chris Cole, Brian, Mike Park, everyone, Melissa, everyone who had celebration of freedom, you know, that big, perfect, wonderful crowd, easy to get out of, deeply kind of dance on every day. So thank you all for your service and everything you do for us. And I also want to thank the former Deputy Mayor, because I think he was a lot better, doing a good endeavor. But I want to thank him for his service. He was an incredible asset to our society for so many years. And I wish him all the best.
Deputy Mayor, I don't have anything special for my report other than I really want to echo what the Deputy Mayor said about the 4th of July event party, Chris. It was close on the weather. You know,
we were nervous.
That's your thing. But you came through. So great job. Commissioner Hovey?
Yeah, the weather was great, Chris, after that thunderstorm in the afternoon, but we were counting on you. The only thing I have is to remind everyone that the primary is coming up August 28th, and if they need to change anything with their voting, they need to do it before July 28th. So if you've moved or changed your address or you want to change your party affiliation or whatever, you have to do it by July 28th.
Good note. Commissioner Camp.
I got one quick question. Maybe Brian can answer this. It's on Michael Blake Boulevard. When do you anticipate that road closure will be lifted?
We're expecting that by the end of the month to be open. We're pushing the developer as strongly as we can to have that road open. We understand the urgency. The delays are on the developer side of getting the road ready for safe public traffic.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And then I just wanted to bring up something that I'd we approved a lot of playground equipment, and as I went through it, it looks like some of it is somewhat handicap accessible with ramps and so forth. But I'd like for us to consider putting on a future agenda. There's some additional equipment for children that are mobility impaired, like in a wheelchair, where they can actually roll onto a swing. I don't know if you looked at any of those, Chris, did you? Things like that. That we might look at adding, you know,
yes.
Say Central Winds.
Cool. Yeah, yes, sir. We did. It's called all inclusive play features, and we do have that so that people can come in. There's transfer stations and there's low mobility units and components. So that will be considered along with all ADA accessibility.
Yeah. Okay. So, very good.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have, Dave.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Greenberg.
The disabilities will be last. Also like to thank, in his absence here, Cade Resnick for his 7.5 years of leadership on the commission, and best of luck on his endeavors to his next role. A lot has been said about the 4th of July. What a wonderful event. You guys did a wonderful, wonderful job. And as a two-time former vice chairman of the committee, I know how much goes into the event. I also, you know, recently was speaking to one of the commissioners over in Oviedo, and one of the big complaints they have is that the city subsidizes all their events and they're losing money up the kazoo with all their events. And the fact that we were able to pull off a major show and do it at effectively break even, or possibly, God forbid, a few dollars, you know, in the black is beyond amazing to me, especially the size and scale and magnitude of what you guys put on. It wasn't a rinky-dink. You know, a few little bottle rockets going up. It was a full-blown, very impressive show. And your entire department, Melissa, you, your entire department deserve all the accolades for it. Great job. I'm also, let me address the 11 years now with no tax increase, no millage increase. In fact, and now over half of them with a decrease. Amazing. You guys do a tremendous job. I live my life by numbers in my particular profession, and so I really, really appreciate the fact that you're able to squeeze so much out of so little. It's just like, you know, it's a pleasure, and let me just say an honor to work with you all. You guys do a tremendous job, and it does not go, you know, beyond me, the Herculean efforts that you need to put through to pull through it. And one last thing while I am at it, the police department, you guys pulled off a flawless event that, you know, given the rain, given the crowd, given everything else, could have been ugly, potential for it. Especially, you know, when you have everyone wanting to get out at the very, very same time. The fact that everyone got out, and I'm not aware of any injuries or any events that were caused, created, or, you know, even with people perhaps enjoying different libations. You know, so to that end, congratulations on that. That's the end.
Thanks, Commissioner. Public input. I don't have any more forms, but there must be somebody who wants to speak. Does anyone from the public wish to address the commission now? Seeing none, we're closed public input.
Wait a minute. What do you think, Dr. Jones?
Dr. Day, are you coming to the mic?
I'm sorry, I
misunderstood. Your name and address, please.
Ted Johnson, 107 Pheasant Circle. Just have one comment. I'm past president of Seminole County Council for Exceptional Children, and I am pleased that Mr. Caldwell is going to investigate further accessibility to the playground equipment for handicapped children. That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson.
And Chris and Dr. Johnson, it's interesting, as someone who just traveled to England and France where they are not ADA compliant, there were some subways that we had to walk down. There was one, they did have a lift in that, an elevator in that area, but most of them had 20 to 30 steps you had to walk on from getting off the train up to the sidewalk and then going back to the airport lugging luggage that was fuller than when we came. You really appreciate escalators and elevators that they don't have over there. And their sidewalks are all in blocks, and they're not even, and you appreciate those things even for people that don't have an issue with walking or traveling. So,
does anyone else wish to address the commission? Seeing none, I'm going to close public input. Brian, if I say we're going to be back at City Hall on August 13th, would I be telling the truth? Yes. So we will meet again on August 13th back at our new and improved and more accessible chambers. Right. So we are adjourned. Thank you.